The text that we have in our midst this morning from the Gospel of Luke is a story that we often hear right after Easter, although we can hear it and receive it at any time. And I always think that it has a parable-like quality that speaks to us, especially when we are in a time of passage. And so we hear together this morning the story that is often called the Road to Emmaus or the Walk to Emmaus. And let us hear this word together. Now, on that same day, which would be the day that Jesus is raised, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, a short way from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes did not recognize him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked, "What things?" They said, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that indeed they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women said, but they didn't see him." Then Jesus said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Wasn't it necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into glory?" And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in the scriptures. As they came near the village where they were going, he walked ahead as if to go on, but they urged him strongly and said, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened. They recognized him and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Weren't our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening scripture to us?" That same hour they got up and went back to Jerusalem, found the 11 and their companions gathered together and were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. May God bless these words to our hearing and to our understanding. A few days ago, when we were putting this morning's worship bulletin together in the church office, Mitzi and I, and looking for what might be a fitting image for the cover today, given today's text and context, Mitzi showed me this one that we used, that she had come across, and I immediately liked it. I liked the way the road seemed to be both opening toward the viewer and winding away from the viewer at the same time. I liked that there were travelers on the road who appeared to be joining hands. I liked everything about it. I said, "Good, let's use that one." And then Mitzi said, "You know, the interesting thing about those travelers on the road in that picture is that you can't tell if they're coming or going." And then we both laughed at how that sounded. I said I hoped that that's not the way this church feels it's being left after 2 years of a transitional time, like it doesn't know if it's coming or going. But the deliberate ambiguity of that image of travelers and road is perfect, somehow allowing us to see a moving toward and a moving away in one glimpse. Because that's human experience. Human experience gives us that paradox, both and. Life in relationship and community gives us that. Certainly life in faith community gives us that, doesn't it? Endings and beginnings arriving together and visible at the same time. A writer once said that there are essentially two kinds of stories and that all our human stories are versions of one of them. A person sets out on a journey and a stranger comes to town. Every story, he said, at core is one of those, a variation on one of those, because life is always one of those. We are either in some way setting out to find, search for, meet something or someone, or something or someone is coming toward us to meet us. We're always moving toward an encounter of some kind, or an encounter is moving toward us, literally, or spiritually, or symbolically, or all of the above. All real living is meeting, is the way the great philosopher Martin Buber put it. All real living is meeting, encounter. Encounter holds energy, truth, blessing, and challenge. All the great stories of our mythologies, our literature, our scriptures, our sacred traditions all tell us that. A person or a community sets out on a journey, a new something comes to them. Sometimes these two kinds of stories converge into one story, so that there is a coming and going all bound up together in one episode. The Emmaus story is like that. After Jesus is crucified, but before any experience of his resurrected life has dawned on them, two of his disciples set out on a journey, walking along a road, looking for they're not sure what next. They are despondent, uncertain, fearful, anxious, in the aftermath of a loss. Things have changed. How could this have happened? Is the question they carry. We had hoped, they lament. And what now? What becomes of us now? A stranger comes along, shows up unexpectedly, encounters them on their way. And in the midst of their anxiety, what they are scared about and sad about, while they are looking for they don't know what yet, they open to this encounter with this something, someone they don't know on the road, the one who seems like a stranger at first. They extend fellowship and hospitality and community to him. Walk with us, they say. Walk with us, be with us, and then stay with us. And together they keep going. The main thing is they keep going. And by the end, when they have extended their hospitality and widened their circle, broken bread and kept company with each other and the stranger, by the end, because they have done these communal things, their hearts are open, and because their hearts are open, their eyes are open, and the one and only thing they need to know is evident to them, that the risen one, fully alive, is right there and has been walking with them, meeting them on the road. What they were missing is actually present. They've just experienced it in a new form, a different form. Their lament is lifted, It turns out they're not bereft or directionless or alone after all. And the gift is that now they know it, which changes the meaning of the journey. All real life is meaning.
You know, I think about
how very much like this Emmaus meeting on the road story, an interim time in a church is. A journey that can start out in lament, it almost always does, and end up in hope. That can start out feeling like a burden, oh, I know, and end up feeling like a gift. That can start out fearful about the future and end up eager for it, with a confidence that Christ has been accompanying that walk the whole time, that we have never not been walking with God, ever. Even in the aftermath, especially in the aftermath of loss and change, we have never not been walking with God. And we've never stopped being the church or doing what the church does, even when at the outset we were all concern and worry about how we would continue to be the church. A people set out on a journey, June 2013, remember? Their senior pastor had just left, and they were unexpectedly looking once again at that journey called pastoral search, with all the work you have to do first before you can even search, months worth. They set out on this road leading to they weren't sure what next. Except they knew they needed some sort of person called an interim minister to be a fellow traveler. And so a fellow traveler came to town, June 2013, remember? And the people asked her to share their walk, their questions, their anticipations, their hopes, their uncertainties, their curiosities, and let her be one of the ones to help them carry all those things along the way with them. So they met on the road, just like the two on the Emmaus Road, and they kept going and continued to do the things that Jesus followers do. Break the bread, tell the stories, open the scriptures, keep fellowship, strive to be welcoming, compassionate, brave, and keep going, mainly keep going. And trust the walking itself, until some 25 months later, they will have seen their journey through. I love that the very first story Luke gives us after Easter itself is a story about journey and moving, of setting out and a moving toward, because the life of faith is nothing if not that. It's a dynamic thing that asks of us that we get up and move toward and let something move toward us, that we don't stay stuck, especially when we are in lament, that we don't stay stuck, and that we trust the basics of our life and community to give us what we need to stay anchored and grounded and together while we walk to a new place. That's what we've been doing these past 2 years. The disciples Luke shows us are a prototype for all disciples. People in community who carry their joys and sorrows together. They are the first layer of church, of which you and I are part of the latest layer, some 2,000 years later. A life in community where we consent to walk along together through everything, including the hard, hard things that happen in people's lives that they don't ask for. Our walking accompanied by that living sacred spirit that too often we don't recognize either, but which is never not there. This Emmaus parable is a picture of what the Jesus community becomes after Jesus and what its task is, what our task is. Not just a proclamation that Christ is risen, or that faith endures, or that love trumps everything, though those things are all true. but a participation in a life that is made of those things. The life of honest, awake encounter and the kind of meeting up on the roads that Jesus has shown us how to do. We keep going on this walk, even when our circumstances change and challenge us greatly, because it's our living of this life, our embodiment of its basics together, that keep teaching us and showing us and grounding us. And now we have seen it through. You are blessed on your way toward new ministry here, which means that pretty soon another stranger will be coming to town. Your new pastor around the 1st of September. And in between, one who's not so much of a stranger, Reverend Bob, he will walk with you too, and there will be blessing in that. And then Craig will arrive to become your new pastor. Before long, he won't be a stranger at all. But for a while, he'll be a newcomer among you, somebody you will need to learn to walk alongside of, as you've done with all your other pastoral leaders. You will be setting out new, and so will he. You will be moving toward some things and away from some things at the same time, and so will he. There will be new stories to take shape here, new meetings on the road that right this minute are waiting to happen. They will all be versions of the one story of God's love for us and for everything. A people set out on a journey. A stranger came to town. They met on the road, traveled for a while together, did their best to hold the Christ light for each other and see their journey through. And may it be for them now that as their ways part, their eyes are opened, and they recognize how it is that the risen one, full of life, has been present with them the whole time, and the whole way. May it be so with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.